Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Malarm, and you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
We made it.
We did.
We made it.
Woo! 5 minutes late. We got it.
We're a little late, but we're here.
We are. You're a little loud over there?
I'm not loud at all. I can't even hear myself.
Oh,
but that's
is that
okay.
The problem? There you go. There's a little volume for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Net Live Special Edition USC Live from Galen Center.
We actually have some people in the chat room.
Really?
We do.
They were fired up. They're Trojan fans.
I love it. It's good to be here, by the way.
This place is unbelievable. I've never actually been in the competition arena. When we used to come play SC, it wasn't that big time. We'd be out in Old Orton, North Gym.
When you used to play against SC, you'd be at North Gym. It'd be crowded. A lot of frat guys were
windows
there.
Windows on one side.
It was a heat box.
SC was picking that side.
Miserable experience.
Trying to pass with the ball going through the windows. It was total baloney.
You know, when I used to announce USC men's volleyball games, early 2000s, one, Dustin Abel, who is here standing by us, was a member of that squad. He does the radio broadcast play-by-play for USC men's volleyball.
He does.
And he's a net live listener.
I thought he was an actor. I didn't know that he was actually just a broadcast
very,
guy.
Very good-looking man.
I mean, I was thinking Blade. Who's the lead actor in Blade or the opposite in Blade? Guy I'm trying to think of. You're not with me on that?
Absolutely no idea. With Wesley Snipes?
No, maybe it's another vampire one.
He looks like a white Wesley Snipes.
Exactly. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're glad you joined us here for this special on-location edition of the Net Live. We have stars of old, stars of current, coaches of now, all kinds of people coming on the show today, Geeter.
Yeah, very cool. Of course, we're here for USC versus BYU, the number one and two teams
in the country.
They played last night, went five sets, 15-12 in the fifth. USC, the number one team in the country, prevailing, an incredible night, 15-12 in the fifth. Murphy Troy, who's going to be coming on the show in a few moments, the All-American opposite senior for USC. Check this out, Barney.
Yeah.
He hit 526.
Oh, that's
he
okay.
He hit 700 out of the back row.
Oh,
22 kills, 38 attack attempts. And one kid I got to talk about for BYU, Taylor Sanders, a freshman, true freshman, went to Norco High School, 29 kills out of 50 attempts, only 5 errors. He had 480. He's a true freshman. So when Coach Robbie Nielsen comes on, we'll talk to him about this young man. But, you know, I've talked to Mark Presho at UC Irvine, John Spraw, talking to the USC staff. We haven't had a freshman come into the league like this in a long, long time. So
yes,
excited to learn about
Hughes.
Him. Jason, are you throwing out a Ridge quote
throwing
right
there? Another Ridge quote. As many Jason Hughes references as we can get in the show.
They had 2,000 people here last night. USC definitely picking up a lot of momentum around the city and what Bill Ferguson and the staff have been able to do here. And as you mentioned, this facility, we thank everyone from USC. Tim Tessalone, the SID, helping us out. So it's been a great experience so far. Barney was fighting traffic, got here sweating. So I'm glad you made it, buddy.
Yeah, I was carrying all the gear by myself, just cursing you, thinking, Geeter, here he is, the talent guy, just waiting on me. I had to recruit somebody else to carry
The amazing thing about that was I'm having a great conversation with Billy and his staff, and I'm looking at my phone when I walk out, and there's no service. So the whole time you're trying to get a hold of me, I'm clueless. So I finally get out here, and the text comes and says, help me carry stuff now. I look over to my right, and you're in there carrying everything. With Donald Sujo, actually, an Olympic setter.
That's who I recruit. If you're going to get somebody to carry your stuff, find an Olympian.
A national team member. Pretty amazing, buddy.
Yeah, Don Sujo coming out for this match. You know, this is a big one. Number one versus number two. You can't get a better matchup in the world of men's volleyball.
No, I mean, you know, in these by far right now are the two best teams. Of course, Long Beach State, Stanford, UC Irvine, teams that are kind of right behind them, Ohio State. But right now, whoever you talk to, USC and BYU, definitely right now the class of men's volleyball. You know, they're having a big night tonight. They're retiring some jerseys. That's one thing Fergie started to do when he got here. The Hov has his jersey in the rafters, and he'll be here a little later. Bob Yoder. And tonight, Dusty Dvorak, one of the best of all time to play the setter position, won a gold medal in 84, won two national championships when he was here at USC, along with Celso Kalachi. Now, I don't know if you know Kalachi.
No.
He was part of the 77 championship team, the first ever title at USC. Played in two Olympics for Brazil, 72 and 76. So when he was a young kid, he played on the Olympic team. They're retiring his jersey as well. As an All-American and truly one of the greats to play here. So very cool.
I like that about the Brazilian system, that they have kids come up that even at 16, 18, you look at a Negrão in 92. These guys come up and they are dominating at the international level when they're the same age as some of the guys we're going to watch here tonight in this match. And really, the Americans, this is great high-level volleyball going on here tonight for the United States. But if you stuck either one of these teams out there against an international squad, there isn't a player out here that would do very well.
Yeah, exactly.
Even guys hitting 700. Doesn't matter. You put them in an international game, not going to be there. Brazilians at this age are there so many times.
Why is that?
They have a better volleyball culture, I think. They start playing volleyball earlier. And we're starting to see that here in the States on the men's side. When I came into the scene, I was one of those guys that came into the scene at 18, had never played, just had the physical tools to play. And I eventually ended up on the national team because I had physical tools, not because I could really play the game. Even through 4 or 5 years on the national team, I could not play the game very well, but I could compete physically. In Brazil, you grow up playing from the age of 7. You know, it's on TV all the time. It's a popular sport. They're doing it all the time. And you see that difference. For me, it was watching Sean Rooney play. I started to see that because Sean Rooney is a guy who had played years and years and years, and he comes out, he looks very polished. And that's what Brazilians are. They're polished at an earlier age.
We have our first guest. Let's get his headphones on. Let's get that microphone closer to him. I'll give him a little intro. It's my guy Murphy Troy, All-American out of USC, plays the opposite position. What a night he had.
A couple of kills.
Last night. Just another day at the office for this young man. 22 kills, hitting, I don't know, 526, 570. Who knows? He had 700 out of the back row. And we watched him as a sophomore play phenomenal in the national championship game, and here he is, a senior coming down the stretch. Murphy, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, talk about last night a little bit. What a match. What an atmosphere. BYU, ranked number 2. It goes 15-12 in the fifth set. How big was that for you guys?
Last night was awesome. I mean, like you said, big atmosphere, number 1 versus number 2. I mean, this is my fourth year here. I don't know if I've ever seen this many fans in the Galen Center before. So that was awesome to have. And, you know, it just sort of had – it was a battle. You know, they played great. They're obviously a really good team. And you know, it was up and down, back and forth the whole match. So it was awesome.
How impressed were you with Taylor Sander, the freshman? We talk a lot about him on the show. We've heard so much about this young man. But he came to play last night.
Yeah, he definitely did. You know, not too many freshmen in the league can come out and sort of have as big of an impact as he had last night in such a huge game. You know, I think he kind of caught us off guard a little bit because we've never really seen a freshman do that to us. But, man, he was good.
Hey, Barney, biochemistry major? Is that?
What?
Is that,
Physics.
4.2 GPA. He carries the Trojans when it comes to GPA.
Yeah, they have like 3 guys not graduate. You just carry it right along.
You just absolutely carry this program when it comes to GPA.
I don't know how accurate that GPA is.
That's what I've been told. And your parents, you grew up in St. Louis, correct?
I did.
Both art teachers?
One of them is. Yeah, my dad's an art professor at Lindenwood University, and my mom is an elementary school counselor.
Where in the hell did you come from?
That's a great question.
Okay, so if there's an artist part of you, where does it come out?
You know, interestingly enough, there's a there's this student-athlete art exhibit going on in the Galen Center lobby. I don't know if you saw it, but I do have a piece.
I was busy carrying a lot of equipment, so I didn't see the wall. Maybe Dieter saw it.
I don't carry anything. I'm talent. I don't need to. That's for Barnett. He sets up the show.
Yeah.
So I was out walking around. I saw some of the stuff out there.
Yeah, well, you know, I took a ceramic class this past fall, and I did a nice little ceramic couch with a rendition of my dog Buster laying on it.
Nice.
It's pretty nice, yeah.
See, if I got in ceramics, it would end up just being an ashtray. Wouldn't matter what I set out to make. I could set out to make a couch, it would be an ashtray.
You know, people are asking on the chat room if they can watch this game. It is streamed, usctrojans.com. Dustin Avall does the play-by-play. And I think that's a great way for fans and maybe your parents to watch the game. Do they get to watch it?
Yeah, they do. They're, you know, on Trojan All Access every week when we have a game. And even when we're on the road now, they can listen in and hear Beltran's voice.
Yeah, Beltran's out there too. Mark Beltran, former Trojan. Now, did you know about this show?
I did not. actually.
Are you a fan now?
I'm a first timer.
Yeah, this is called the Net Live, buddy. It's on Mondays from 10 to 12.
Somebody get him a card.
Yeah, somebody get him a business card. You can download it for free on iTunes. We're trying to get men's volleyball more popular out there. It's a lot of women's volleyball, a lot of beach, but Barney and I are big men's volleyball fans. We talk a lot about, you know, the fraternity amongst the players. Do you know a lot of guys around the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just sort of the way it works. Men's volleyball is such a small network that you kind of know everybody. You either play with them here, played against them there. So, I think we're all pretty familiar with each other.
Murphy, SC was a program that was kind of down for a few years, and then Coach Ferguson came along and really has taken it back to another level. What are some of the things that he's doing, you think, that has rekindled the spirit and the success of this program?
You know, Fergie does a great job at just sort of taking what the university is all about and putting it into the volleyball program. You know, this university was built on, you know, tradition and integrity and stuff. And you know, the first thing he said when he comes in recruiting is, you know, hey, I want to, you know, coach some young men that women around the country are going to want to date. You know, I want to be proud of the guys that I coach.
He wants you to be good men.
He wants to put a good product out.
He wants you to be good husbands. Everything.
Exactly. All well-rounded. And you know, that's what he's done. So he's gone out there. We've gotten the best talent in the country. And now he's putting it together, and we're getting on the map.
You tasted success a couple years ago, got to the national championship run, an incredible run. Last year, disappointing by your standards. This year, coming into your senior year, is it Final Four national championship or bust for you? I mean, is that the goal?
In a way. You know, ultimately our goal is to sort of take what we have every day and build on it so that by the time we get to the end of the season, whether it's Final Four, playoffs, whatever, that we're at the top of our game. You know, I think last year, part of the reason we had such a disappointing season was because we were so focused on getting to the Final Four, getting back to that national championship game, and we sort of lost sight of the season in between, you know. Small 22 games that you kind of got to worry about a lot. And so, you know, we're trying to focus more on the smaller aspects and the building blocks that initially got us to that first national championship that hopefully if we concentrate on them again, we'll get us back.
Last question. Go ahead, Barney, take him because I know he's got to go warm up.
Yeah, they're starting to get
Barnett never warmed up at Pepperdine. 17 minutes before the match.
Yeah,
sat there.
25 minutes max warm up, guaranteed. Talk about the changes you're going to make tonight. What did you see last night that you're going to have to react to this evening, either on scouting report, particular hitters?
You know, I mean, obviously we talked about Sanders. He did an incredible job, and we need to do a better job defending if we want to win this match. You know, we let too many opportunities go by on the defensive end, whether it's a missed dig or a missed, you know, swing and transition. And I think if we looked at some video today and if we can correct a lot of those things, then we're going to give ourselves a lot better opportunities. So defense has got to be the key here, I think.
All right.
Murphy Troy.
Opposite. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hope you listen to the show
luck.
Now.
Hey, you can download any show for free on iTunes.
$0, the right Net price Live. For a college player.
Hey,
perfect for you.
I got the business card. I'm going to use it now.
Yeah, make sure the whole team. All right, bud?
I'll get it.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, Murphy.
I got to tell you.
That's a good kid right there.
I'm impressed.
Tell you what.
You know, Fergie and I go way back. He's been a dear friend of mine since 1989, and we've coached together. And when I'm talking about his team and who we should have on, it wasn't even a question. It was Murphy Troy. I'm like, why? Because he's the best player. He's like, no, he's going to be the best interview. I mean, he's a good kid, and what a funny story. His mom and dad are, you know, thinking, where does this kid come from? I mean, this athletic monster, one of the best players in all of men's college volleyball, and he's got a great head on his shoulders. 4.2 GPA.
How's that possible?
Combine our GPAs. Do we get there?
I got a 3.2. Do you have a 1.0?
No. I'm not Coley Kyman. Let's get Fergie on here. Bill Ferguson, the head coach for USC men's volleyball, the number one team in the country.
He doesn't need a card. We know he knows about the show.
Hi, Bill.
Long time.
Yeah, long time listener.
Yeah.
Long time guest. Billy, real quick, just a little history for our listeners. How long have you been the coach here? You did have a stint as an assistant, so go through a little history for us first.
Yeah, I was an assistant for the 97 and 98 seasons with Pat Powers, his first 2 years here. So I did that.
Had an epic match in 1997 against you guys.
We did. That was like dark. We called that Dark Friday. There was
a five setter in North Gym.
Well, that was when Gabe Gardner was he and Pat really couldn't decide whether the sun was going to come up or not.
Right.
By the way, that noise was Geeter getting pegged by a
ball. I'm all good.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
I mean, DePron passed nails all night last night. Now he lets one go.
Robbie, I got to talk to Robbie about the ball control. I know it's better now.
Hey,
come on, kid.
We're going to have some Cougars on. Relax, gentlemen.
No, so that was going to be Gabe's last match and for us because he decided he was going to transfer. And that was also Scott Wong. We were recruiting him, and it was between us and Pepperdine. And he kind of told us that, hey, you know, maybe whoever wins that match is where
really?
I'm going. So not only did we lose the match, we lost Gabe Gardner and Scott Wong.
Ooh, wow. A program killer right there for Pat Powers.
Yeah, that was Black Friday. Black.
And then you come back and you get the job, a dream job for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Always wanted. My parents went here. I grew up going to the football games when I was a little kid. My parents were friends with Don Lindsay and Hudson Hout, who were the defensive coordinator and offensive line coaches at the time. Used to go to football practices, meet all the guys. My brother and I actually spent 3 days and two nights during Hell Week. You know, with the summer before Charles White's senior year.
Mm.
So I was always around the place and I loved it. And so this place for me, it's not just a volleyball head coaching job. It was USC, and that was the big deal for me.
In the hiring process, how important is that connection to the university?
It's huge because, you know, a private school like this, it's so steeped in tradition. You know, you hear about these special schools across the country where there's a little bit of a different attitude, and there's something that sets it apart from everywhere else. And USC is one of those places. You know, I think a lot of people make a comparison like Notre Dame, that same type of private school with the alumni, and it's such a tight bond. And you really, not only do you have to be good at what you do, but you have to do it a certain way, and you have to know how to connect with the alumni because they're your support, and they're how you prosper. So.
And that's what you did, Billy, right off the bat. You reached out to the Brian Ivies, the Yoders, the Hovlands, Obradovich, the whole crew, and got them involved again.
Yeah, how do you not? I mean, those are some of the best people to ever play this game. Our program was one of the top programs in the history of our sport. You know, if you look at the 1984 gold medal team, half the starting lineup played here. You know, with Dusty, with Powers, and Timmons. You know, so when you think about that, you know, Dusty's still, you could argue, was the best setter to ever walk the planet. I mean, that's pretty big time stuff. You know, when you're thinking about the history of a program, those guys have to be involved. They have to touch the athletes, and they have to be around and impart what made them great to the guys now, so that they can be great.
Talk about the alumni. We had Murphy Troy in here. He talked about that he's never seen more fans in the stands. How do you reach the public? How have you reached out through the university system to get more students, faculty members, and other members of the public to come in and watch your program?
Well, part of it is just on a day-to-day basis being great and having great kids like Murphy and some of the other guys so that when they're on campus and they interact with people, people want to be around them, people want to come watch them, and people want to support them. The other thing we do is we got marketing is going. They have what's called a victory email here. Every student gets one. There was a huge email blast that went out Friday to the entire student body, to all of our season ticket holders, to our boosters.
Matt Barkley's tweeting about your match last night, giving play-by-play.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He's, you know, you got people like that coming to the match. It's pretty unreal. When we were on our run to the Final Four 2 years ago, you know, Pete Carroll came to a couple of our matches, and he actually gave us a pep talk the day before we played pep for the conference championship. And, you know, so to have, you know, other people in the school like that involved and being into what you're doing, it makes it a real good experience for you guys.
Chat room, someone just jumped in. Chucky Moore, what's up, man? Fergie, sounds fantastic on air. He's better with a face made for radio, is what he said.
I got a face for radio and a body for the circus.
Oh, that is fantastic. Fergie, let's focus on this year's team, a huge match. I mean, of course, they're all huge, but when you're playing number two BYU right behind you in the standings, you go five last night. You've been going three with everybody. This had to have showed you something, what your team's made of.
Yeah. I mean, we knew this was going to be a bloodbath. You know, both teams are great. Thank goodness we went five last week with Long Beach State. And I think, you know, Long Beach State, I think, does something similar to BYU in the fact that they serve real tough and they block very well. You know, so for us to have that five-game nail-biter a week ago, I thought it was huge. If we don't have that, I don't know if last night turns out how it did.
Now you lost to Pepperdine a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
I have to bring it up because it's my show.
I'm sorry. I should have called in. I was on the Monday before, and I should have called in the next Monday just to let you know that I wasn't a front runner. And
Is that one of those matches or one of those games where people talk about it's good to lose in the middle of a season for a good team to get that kind of shock of reality? Do you believe in that premise?
Yeah, I certainly did after the following week how we responded. 'Cause that was the thing. It was, how are we going to respond? And our guys, to a man, came into the gym, and they worked their tails off, and there was a different level of intensity, and we had a fantastic week. We had Stanford on Friday and Pacific on Saturday. We played probably one of our best matches of the season against Stanford. And the next night, you know, Murph had the flu and couldn't go. And, you know, we've got a guy, Tanner Jansen, a redshirt freshman, comes off the bench
and hit
600. So, wow. You know, and then and Tony and Tri were both in the high threes and 400s in that match. So, you know, there was no drop-off. And for us to be able to have the journey that we think we can, you know, we've got to have guys step up like that. So that was huge.
You know, Billy, we're going to have Robbie Nielsen on here in a moment, the head coach for BYU. He's a Pally kid. He played for the two of us. We won a gold medal. He was our setter in 1997. For you to now face him across the net, number one, how proud are you, and how weird is that?
It's definitely my real first experience of feeling old.
There you go.
As a college volleyball coach. But, yeah, I'm really proud of first of all, him. I mean, he did a great job for us. I mean, we won.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie's one of my favorite kids, too, that we've ever – I mean, you talk about a good guy on and off the court.
He came into a situation where the team was already established, fit right in, and then made us go, and that was pretty huge. You know, there's a reason Kurt Toppel looked so good getting, you know, that year.
This is the reason why Toppel got the MVP of JOs.
Yeah, somebody had to get him the ball, right?
Yeah.
And, no, it's really cool. And to see the Pally High thing, you know, we had such a great tradition at that school. You know, they had a great reunion a few years back, had all the Olympic gold medalists back. You know, Ludes was there. You know, all the greats that have ever played at Pally. And then, you know, to have Robbie go there, win a city championship. I was there. We won a championship. Have Jarrett, you know, doing so well at Texas.
Yeah.
To have that kind of fraternity of us all coaching now, I take a lot of pride in that. I mean, that actually means a lot to me.
Fergie, with what you're doing here in this program this year, the expectations now, are there some key words, phrases, or ideas that you're constantly preaching to the guys about this season and about this team?
Yeah, we've actually had the guys put it in their own words. And, you know, they have – there's three buzz terms. One of them is every day, and that's to signify that they need to come in and they need to work hard every single day. And, you know, whatever it is, little things, every day. You know, the next thing is we is greater than the me. And then the last thing is confidence. And, you know, it's a difference between, you know, being confident in what you do, being confident that you came in every day and you worked hard, that the we is greater than the me. So that kind of ties everything up. And also, you know, like, hey, there's a difference between confidence and cockiness, and we're going to try to go out and feel good about what we do, have celebrate our successes, and hopefully it's the right way.
And Billy, we do have one question on the chat room. It said, Billy, who voted Ohio State number one, do you think?
I love that question.
That's a great question. It's on the chat room.
Schmidt Planson, I think it runs with. Now, I don't know. I don't know if he votes for it or if it's the Ohio State guy, but that's okay. They're doing great.
Yeah. Now, Billy, I know you got to work, so we'll ask you this final question, and maybe Barney has one more, but give me some keys tonight for you guys to be successful and get this win.
Murph hit on it. I think we need to be a little bit more organized on defense. I think the serve and pass game with both teams, both teams got each other in trouble serving and passing a little bit, and that was the ebb and flow of it. I mean, you saw how the high numbers that both teams hit. So I think which team can buckle down and play a little defense better or block a little bit better is going to end up on top, because we're both going to play good offense, we're both going to serve tough, we're both going to pass well, and I think the defense is going to be huge.
Tell just Jeff Nygaard he's got to pick it up on the block there.
We did outblock our opponents. I think it was like 12.5-8 or something, so he's kind of fired up.
Excellent.
Good work, Fergie. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Fergie.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for making this happen. And when you host the MPSF, we'll be here as well.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now we got the setup all done.
Very nice.
Thanks,
ready to
guys.
Go.
Have
all right.
A good one. Thank you.
Bill Ferguson, head coach,
Ferguson.
USC.
I have to mention, DJ J. Roche on the chat room, not happy that we've gone 20, 30 minutes without even mentioning him. He is across the street at Staples Center getting ready for a Clipper game. So, J. Roche, we miss you.
Clippers actually better than the Lakers now, aren't they?
It's a stupid thing to say. not even close.
Great job, Bill.
It's just nonstop people here. I love these on-location shows because it's like we don't even have to work. We just talk to people.
When I was emailing you this week, I said it'd be like press row at the Super Bowl. You know, guys just walk by and superstars, and we have a superstar joining us right now. He's a young man that I hold very dear to my heart. Robbie Nielsen with the Palisades High School.
was a setter at BYU, won a national championship in 2004, was all MPSF 2006, I believe. But what a great young man. This is his first year as the head coach. He has been an assistant before. So, Robbie, welcome to the show, man, and I'm so proud of you.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for coming out, you guys.
Robbie, how often do you get mistaken for a student rather than the head coach?
A lot.
This is a problem I have also, but looking at you, you could just put a uniform on, nobody question it.
Yeah, the young face, you know, and the BYU honor code to keep clean shaven, you know, doesn't help, I guess.
Robbie, the honor code is in the news right now. Obviously, Brandon Davies getting, dismissed from the team. How much do you guys talk about that as a team, or do you have to talk about it as a team at all?
Yeah, it's something that we definitely address. You know, it's obviously BYU holds their students to a very high standard in the way that they behave. And so it's something that we address with our guys. We're lucky that we have just a lot of really, really great young men, lot of guys that have served missions and that have grown up with those standards, and so they know what to expect.
How important are those missions to the maturation of your athletes?
Just those experiences that guys go through for 2 years are just unbelievable. Rob Stoll served in the Philippines for 2 years, you know, and here's a kid that comes from affluence in Southern California and now spends 2 years in a third world country. You know, you can only imagine what that does for him to open his eyes to kind of the things that go on around the world. And they're fantastic.
Talk about recruiting to BYU when you're going out and looking for these kids that can, number one, bring it on the volleyball court, but also be the young men that you want to have in your program representing BYU.
Well, there's a lot of strength. There's a lot of tradition in the Mormon church with volleyball. You know, kids grow up playing in stake centers and ward buildings, you know, their whole lives. And so we're lucky that there's a lot of really nice young LDS volleyball players. And then when we recruit kids that aren't of the faith, you know, usually we're finding kids that would be a good fit for BYU. So kids that want to come in and really focus on school and really want to focus on getting better at the sport and really dedicated and focus on those goals in particular. And so, you know, we find our niche. Obviously, BYU's not for everybody, and we understand that. It's maybe not the college experience that some people are looking for, but it's exactly what other people are looking for, and we're lucky that we find enough of those kids to be a really competitive volleyball team. So,
Rob, first-year head coach, who have you sought out as a mentor or looked to for advice? Have you talked to a guy like Carl McGowan, who coached the program for so many years?
You know, Carl is the one who I learned the game of volleyball from. I remember you coming out to BYU when I was just a true freshman.
And, that's right.
You know, talking to Carl a little bit, and, you know, he's been so wonderful to me. He's been a mentor to me. You know, obviously I've learned a lot from the coaches. I played for Tom Peterson, who's a great coach. I coached with Sean Patcho, who's a great coach as well. But, you know, really I learned the game from Carl McGowan, and he's been a wonderful mentor to me through this process and really throughout my whole maturation as a player and as a coach.
You know, Ryan Millar came on our show, and he does. He's a friend of the show. He'll call in when he can, and he's had some great things to say about you, but just was really proud of the job you're doing. And I know he's a big part of that program.
Absolutely, yeah. We love Ryan. He comes around. Our guys love him. You know, we had most of these guys played for him when he was a co-head coach a couple years ago. And you know, we love having him around the program. Ryan's great, you guys know.
Rob, you had a couple of suspensions earlier in the season you had to deal with. What did you say to your team about that process and moving forward?
Yeah, you know, we're just we're focused on getting better and improving. We're lucky that we had a lot of depth to kind of weather those storms, you know. You know, we're just really trying to put that stuff behind us and move forward. And our guys did a great job. You know, they understood, you know, what the suspensions came from and you know that, hey, that doesn't really affect what we want to accomplish this season. It doesn't affect our goals. It's maybe a bump in the road, but hey, let's get past it.
What did the suspensions come from? Because when I read the article, it wasn't terribly clear as to what exactly had occurred.
It came from some infractions this summer. Obviously, kind of the same things that went on with our head coach, Sean Patchell, the reasons that he's not with us anymore at BYU. You know, it was just dealing with some scholarship stuff, and it was just a difficult situation for everybody. First losing Sean, and then kind of what some of the players had to go through as well. So,
Robbie, let's focus on last night's match, 15-12. You come to SC, you knew it was going to be a tough environment. You're right there with the number one team in the country, proving that, you know, you can battle with these guys. How close was that match, and is it a couple plays that you look back on?
Yeah, you know, I think volleyball is obviously about serve and serve receive, and I think they just did a little bit better job controlling the ball passing and serving tough, you know, getting us out of system. We took a lot of out-of-system swings last night, and really, you know, that was our salvation and allowing us to stay in the match was how well we played out of system. And, you know, that's tough to sustain for too long, and they did a nice job pressuring us in a lot of different areas and eventually made enough plays to win. And yeah, it's a couple plays here or there.
You're around a kid like Taylor Sander every day, the freshman that we've been talking about. I mean, last night his numbers are incredible. 29 kills, only 5 errors, 50 swings. He hits 480, a true freshman. Just talk about this kid and how much upside he has and how good can he be.
You know, he's special. He's played a lot of volleyball. Obviously, he's incredibly athletic, but he's also very coachable. You know, we've asked him to make some changes, and he's been willing to do that. He works hard every day in the gym, and you know, that just doesn't put a limit on how far he can go and what he can accomplish in this game because he is, you know, such a special talent. And, you know, we enjoy watching him. I see him every day in practice, and every day he does something to kind of amaze our staff and amaze the guys playing with him.
Rob, from the time you were a player in the program to now being the head coach, what are the top one or two differences you see in the game and the way it's being played?
It's just so much faster. You know, the speed is just getting faster and faster. The way that coaches train their players, you know, to be precise playing at that speed is just really, really impressive. You know, we watch video of USC and guys are running third step sets, you know, from three different positions. You know, you got Murphy Troy hitting on the right side, you got Tony coming on the BIC, and you got Triborn hitting on the outside, and it just puts a lot of pressure on blocks and, you know, offensively for teams to be able to do that and run that fast. It's really changed the game.
Robbie, I'm 6'3", and I don't even know if I could be a libero in this league anymore. I mean, it's incredible. I'm looking at these guys you have. What are we feeding them? Enormous.
Yeah, lots of food. These guys work hard in the weight room. You know, both teams are just these monster teams, you know, bigger than the teams that we played with. And, yeah, they do a great job. They work super hard. And yeah.
So many great names in volleyball with BYU, Hugh McCutcheon, of course, Lamborn and Millar, who've won golds, Casey Jennings, who's won beach titles. Do the kids know that history? Are they a part of it? Kevin and I are always talking about the history of men's volleyball. Do these kids really know who everybody is? And at BYU, I kind of imagine that it's a special place, and they know.
Absolutely. You know, of that gold medal staff, there's, I think, 4 BYU graduates.
A lot of Cougars.
Got a degree from there, yeah. And 2 guys that played on the team. You know, Troy Tanner, who coached, he was the assistant coach my freshman year. And so there's just been a lot of people that have been around BYU, and we try and bring back the alumni to help remind these guys what a special tradition they're a part of. And I think they do a great job honoring that and working hard.
Great job, Robbie. Hey, man, can I thank you for that 1997 gold medal? You won me, J.O.'s.
Oh, man, you guys put together a great team. It was just fun to be a part of.
He was he's one of those kids, Kevin, that you're very proud of on and off the court. Truly,
nice.
You know, in all the years of coaching, 18 years of coaching, he's one that you remember as one of the great ones.
Very nice. You did a great job here. Rob, thanks very much.
Thanks, Robbie. Proud of you, buddy.
Yes. Good luck
work.
Tonight.
All right. Hey,
all right, buddy.
All right, Geeter.
Very cool.
This is fun. I love the atmosphere. I don't get asked too many men's matches. I'll be at Pepperdine on Thursday night for their match.
You know, I was kind of hoping we could just, like, keep talking during the match. You know what I mean? Too bad we got to end at 7.
Yeah, they wouldn't let us keep going.
We're San Diego,
interfere with people.
We can't interfere with the broadcast that will be on USCTrojans.com, and they'll be streaming it, and you can get it. I believe you got to buy it.
Boy, that's a huge option. We just did not have that when I was a kid. My mom would come see me play for like a week or 2 weeks, and that was it.
What
you
about
know,
our broadcasting
she,
careers?
Three matches a week.
We could have had experience.
I know.
We could have been doing the hoops games.
I know. That's
softball
what they have
games,
now.
Baseball games.
You try and get in and doing some of this. Oh, we got the students. Full production studios. It's pretty cool.
You know, I was doing a match for ESPN this fall, a women's match, and they have the students from that school helping out. And we had a couple kids join the broadcast, and I had to cut them off. I was a little bit afraid. I mean, these kids were 19, and I'm like, dude,
hey guys,
I don't need you taking my job yet. But, I mean, it's just they're seasoned. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everything gets better and bigger. We're talking about broadcasting, but... But literally, Barney, I mean, take a look at these guys. And, of course, you've seen the international game. You're around it. You broadcast it. I'm impressed when I come to a men's college match and I see these guys are big and they're athletic.
I'll tell you, one of the biggest differences I see is the strength training aspect of what's going on. A lot of these guys are big. You know they're doing Olympic lifts. All these programs now have coaches that have the kids in the weight room. And we're talking about weight room coaches. You know, physical trainers. We're not talking about the coach who read some article and then stuck you in there in the weight room and had you doing curls and bench press.
Sure.
We're talking about really systematic programs. And I think it makes such a difference when you look at these guys. Huge shoulders, big arms, ready to play.
Look at Jason Olive.
Jason Olive.
He's shaking us off right now.
I don't miss it at all.
You don't miss it?
How good is it?
I mean, Jay, we were just saying.
Jason Olive.
Jason, how big are these guys? You would be a libero.
Former Hawaii player.
Especially if you could overhand pass. I would have been the best libero in the world.
That's the only way I could actually play was the fact we could overhand pass.
Jason Olive, model slash photographer slash god slash former volleyball player. Really a guy. Jump on in there. Put on the headphones. Jump on in. Why not? You've called in the show and tried to ruin segments before.
You wanted to look at your ad right there, Geeter. You wanted to see you in the middle of our ad in the Volleyball Magazine. Just got a pile of them dropped off by J.O.
J.O., tell everyone what you're doing now and a little bit of history. I mean, you've been around this game, man, for a long, long time, both on the, you know, the level of bringing it to kids and in the inner cities to modeling to everything, my friend.
Now, let me just start with this. Right, we're here in the Galen Center, which is just this multi-million...
Get up to that mic, dude.
Multi-million dollar playing facility. And even though the Pepper is very mediocre and there's absolutely like 10 people in the stands, you just can't believe how much you missed this.
I just love that you said the peppering is mediocre. Big guys can't pepper.
I've seen a few balls drop.
By the way, I got cracked in the face. I'm not even sure if we didn't really talk about that
on
air.
But thump right there.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely got cracked in the head by some BYU kids peppering. I questioned the ball control.
Are you having
point.
Flashbacks to Bob Samuelson thundering you in practice?
Sammy did thunder me. You got to pop right up. You got to pop right up.
Never touch your face.
Never touch your face.
That was always the rule in Marv's gym. Never touch your face.
I just came back from the reception right now.
How's it going back there?
It would be the most phenomenal over 50s open team.
Yeah, so the Hobbs back there.
Hobbs back there. Yoder's back there.
Dusty Dvorak's back there.
Dvorak's back there.
And Kalachi's getting Celso.
Tom's back there.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody's back there.
Sujo's back there.
Yeah, you know what? Sujo actually helped the show out. He carried Barnett's equipment.
He's not over 50, but his knees are.
I was just going to say, he's not over 50.
That's not a funny joke for some of us sitting here at the mic, J.O.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
J.O., tell us a little bit about the magazine.
Yeah, this month was pretty cool. We did the Fab 50 this year, tried to bring a little bit more life and attention that it deserves to it, so it was cool. Had Krista on the cover. She's phenomenal.
Just lost to her. We actually play them a lot, and they beat us in the semifinals. She had an outstanding match in the Vegas tournament. She's right up there with the best that we've seen in a lot of years.
There needs to be a gender version of a man child because that's what she is. She's a woman child.
She can dominate
works,
out there.
But yeah.
You know, we played them in the gold medal national championship game at J.O.'s last year, and it was funny, Barney, and you'll understand, you talk to other coaches, everyone has their strategy against certain teams.
Right.
And, you know, other coaches who we all know, they're trying to give a strategy like, you got to serve Van Zandt short, you got to get her tired. I'm thinking to myself, you know, we played them six times that year. I said, what I do is, she's not allowed to see a ball. I want her not involved in the game. Why let their best player touch it twice out of three touches? I didn't serve her one ball in that match. A couple rotations, I might bring
strategy.
Her in short. Yeah, a couple rotations. She likes to run an X2 when she's right front. I would maybe serve that short area too and bring her in. But I don't want the best player touching the ball. I want her to get bored out there.
Yeah.
She's that good, this kid. Going to University of Washington to play for Jimmy Mack.
Ex-USC coach.
Now, Geeter, I know you had a problem with a couple of the Fab 50 there. You wanted to talk to J.O. about some of the Fab 50 omissions.
Yeah, well, you know what I was looking at was the junior class.
Okay.
And Rebecca Strelo, who's my setter, headed to UCLA to play for Sealy, is one of the best players in the country. I didn't see her on there, J.O., and maybe I didn't look hard enough, but, you know, first I was like, where's J.O.? Who's in charge? You know.
He was wanting to fight.
What's going on?
I'd love to hide behind the fact that it's not really my deal. Since I'm the one getting grilled on the radio show, I'll just pretend it was.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, homie.
No, look, there were some great calls. I definitely thought some things should have gone the other way. I don't care what I'm looking at. I don't have to be in the game, the high school game, that much, or you don't have to be too much on point with the high school game to realize that when you look at a Fab 50 without AmeriCosta or I think maybe one kid out of Hawaii, I don't even know if there was a kid out of Punahou, it worries me. It worries me. You know what I'm saying?
No, that
I'm
shows
not,
the depth
not,
of the I'm, game right there.
I'm, yeah. I'm not saying that there's a wrong move there, but I'm just saying that fact worried me.
Sure.
You know, so, you got to say that for every kid that's on there, there's three more that absolutely,
of course,
deserve to be on there and could probably beat them any night of the week, but you got to come to some consensus.
Have you heard the big news? Misty May Traynor and Kerry Walsh Jennings back together. Misty deciding to come back and play and go for London.
If there's Tom Ferguson Facebook, right there, Billy's father.
If he follows our Facebook, he knows we broke that news about 6 hours before
NBC. By the way,
NBC.
And on Volley Talk, they threw out a plug for us saying,
they did.
We just read this on they the did. Net Live.
The Net Live.
Well, I didn't know that, but let me say this. I talked to Kessie and Ross a little while ago, and their whole tenor of the conversation was so careful as not to mention their names. I pretty much figured that that was.
Yeah, you figured.
There are two volleyball players getting together that you, well, never mind.
I mean, I just want to know what that qualification looks like on the women's now. Like, I mean, who's going to qualify?
I think Nicole Brenna is the odd woman out.
Yeah, she's
going
to either play with Angie Akers or call EY and try to get her out of retirement, as Tim Hovland is about to grace us with his presence. That's an amazing get by Tim Tessalone, the SID, one of the greats. He's in the rafters.
And big thanks to Tim Tessalone and the entire group here, Val, for having us all out and making it happen here at USC. I want to make sure we put that out there. J.O., thanks for stopping by, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great game.
All right.
All right, J.O.
Jason Olive, Volleyball Magazine.
Put on those headphones.
Here he comes. I'm looking at his picture right now.
I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Put on those headphones. Thank you, Jason Olive.
Three final fours.
I'll tell you right now, three final fours. Here's some things. 60 open wins. He's a top 10 of all time in the history of the sport. He and Mike Dodd, third all time in terms of team wins. They were second until Phil and Todd just passed them this year.
You know
he was the athlete of the year.
He wants to get in right
athlete
there.
Of the year in the city of Los Angeles when he was a senior at Westchester. Guess who he beat out? Ronnie Lott. Tim Hovland was a great football,
nice.
Basketball, and volleyball player. One of the great characters of the game as well. One of the best personalities of all time. I'm talking about Javi.
Keep going, Gator.
Yeah,
you
like that,
but good,
God, dude. Were you
God.
Feeling good right there.
God, I forgot how good I was. God dang it.
Sometimes you have to wake up and look in the mirror and say, I'm the Hob.
Yeah, I do. A lot. That kind of gets me going, wakes me up. Other than that, life's not that great.
Hob, I know you're a huge USC supporter. What did that mean last year when Fergie decided to start putting some names in the rafters? You and Bob Yoder go in. Just talk about that experience for you to have your family here and to go up in the rafters at your university.
You know what? I believe so much in USC. It's a good tradition. It's, the university is unbelievable. And I didn't think I was going to be that emotional. I got out here. I swear they undid it, and I went. I almost started crying. I'm going, this is a big deal.
Bob, if you would have wept too, people would have been on you. You know, I mean, OB and those guys would have been all over you.
I don't care about him. Listen, you do what you do.
I should text him and tell him to call in right now.
I've got to text him after each game.
Oh yeah, look at this.
Oh my God.
1992 Karch coming
1992 in. 1992 Karch, who's going to be here tonight?
That's
courtesy Matt Gardhoff, right there.
Yeah,
there he is.
You know what? Put that below the table here. I don't need to look at him anymore. I've had enough of him.
You want
to
choke him out?
That's no problem.
How many times did you get sick of him?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It's good to have Dusty coming along and Celso joining the group up there.
Yeah, talk about those two. I know you've known them a long time. Let's start with Dusty.
You know, Dusty, I will still say this. He's probably the best setter the U.S. has ever had. I mean, as far as blocking, his hands were perfect. He's as good as I've seen, I'll tell you that. Celso is just unbelievable. I think he was like 25 when he got back here as a senior.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was in the Olympics in 72. He was winning titles at SC in 77.
Exactly. He's about as old as some of these Mormon guys here. So they didn't go on any mission.
Bob, I got a question for you. You ever seen the movie Spiker?
Negative.
It was... Well, that's the end of that question right there. It's a terrible film, but it had a player who joined the U.S. national team and then decided to leave the U.S. national team while clashing with Doug Beal, and rumor had it that that character was based on you.
You know what's funny is that you look back 20 years and who was right and who was wrong?
Yeah.
Everybody now goes abroad and plays and comes back. Doug Beal was the guy who said, I'll never go over there and play. You got to stay here and play. What the hell did he do 2 years afterwards? He goes over there and coaches. Everybody's going over there and playing now. I was right then, I'm right now. Period.
No regrets, right, Hoff?
None. No regrets. It was a tough time.
Yeah, talk about playing overseas in that era.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pre-internet, pre-really good phone connections. What was it like being overseas?
Listen, you were there to play volleyball. You can't get hurt. You get hurt, you're out.
Right,
your
contract's
cut.
Ice.
You have no nothing.
No ice.
I was there 8 years, and we won the championship, the Scudetto 1 year, Player of the Year, year or two. And you know what? It was amazing.
Where'd you play? What city?
Torino. okay. Torino, Pordenone, Ancona, and it was insane volleyball. And you got so much better because your level of play, and you know that's what everybody does now. I mean, you're going to Russia, you're going to wherever you're playing top competition, and you know it was you know at that time you know Doug didn't understand that, and now I think that's just the way it is.
Hav, I want to talk about this day and age in beach volleyball before we go back to your day and age. Some of the things you're seeing out there, especially what went on with the AVP, we talk about a lot about it on this show, just how disappointing it was for you. You're always someone that has been an ambassador for the game and supported the game.
I support the game. I just think that the court's too short. It's you know, why'd you change it? I still don't get that. I think the game is a cheapened game. The score, you know, you want to change the score, I'm okay with that. Don't change the dimensions of the court. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, I think...
Do you think that that's ultimately a part of why it failed?
I think it is. I mean, you got to have some tradition. You got to have some loyalty. I don't know who's making these rules up. Now that you can net on the indoor, I mean, somebody's got to stop making rules.
What's wrong with the business of beach volleyball? What's gone wrong with it, and how can it be fixed?
I think that it went. We were very new wave. We were more like the X Games before the X Games came out.
Yeah.
I think everybody bought into the lifestyle. I think you know what, we come to town and we would turn that town into Southern California, and it would rock.
Great point.
And now people are going there and you know it's not it's too
more of a business like you're in and you're out.
It's too corporate.
Yeah.
And it's not a lifestyle, unfortunately. I wish it would get back to what it is, but I don't know if it's going to anytime soon.
You know, Hav, they called you the big game hunter. You and Mike Dodd won 5 Manhattan Opens. You look at this USC team that's trying to become the big game hunters and win the big one. What was it about playing your best in the biggest tournaments?
Well, when the money talks, you got to come out and, you know, that's what you do. You can have, I'll give you Rhode Island, Stokey. You can have that, but you want to win Manhattan, you want to win Hermosa. You want to, you know, you can give away the small ones. You take the big ones. That's when you make your mark.
You know, you still get after Stokey and St. John when you see them. I've seen it myself. What is it about that rivalry that made it so great?
Hey, you know what? I respect them all. I mean, all the great players. We all worked very hard to get that good. And you know what? It's a love-hate relationship.
More hate than love?
Sure. Why not? You know?
Some of those epic battles. Can you tell us a story about playing basically in the dark? The headlights had to come on, the Manhattan Open.
Manhattan Open, out of the loser's bracket, me and Dodd, 13-12, Cindy calls timeout. I said to him, you can't see the ball. He goes, whatever. He goes back to serve, serves out. I serve 2 balls. He calls a timeout. I said, you can't see the ball. This game is over.
They literally couldn't see it, right?
Couldn't see it.
Pitch black.
Couldn't see a thing. He somehow touched it, hits the top of the net, dribbles. It goes back on his side. Game over.
Celebration right up to 12th Street? What did you guys do back then?
We went right to La Paz.
No, La Paz was a beauty.
All the bikers were there.
What year is this?
1981.
What are you taking home prize money wise in 81?
$3,500.
Nice.
Yeah. That was, I made over $1 million, $3,000 at a time.
$3,000. Hav, the ripping of the shirt. Tell us where that came from or where that started.
It started because Mike Dodd was playing like crap. And I was sick of it. And I had to do something to vent my frustration.
And you just said, that's it. And then.
Seriously, you're going to pass like that?
And then what happened? It just caught on. I mean, the crowd loved it, and it just became something that you did?
You got to go with it. You got to have a gimmick, don't you?
Absolutely.
You look out there at the beach players today. Who's the guy closest to you in attitude?
You know what? I don't think they give them enough leeway to have the attitude. I think the referees demand so much more respect right now. I mean, you can't yell at a Marvin like, and you're hungry for a cheeseburger, you know?
The famous one was you saying, you called a timeout for the ref and said, be here. I'm here. You be here.
It's exactly right. I'm giving 110%. Give me half of that and we're going to be okay.
Side out for Jesus, serve the Lord. That was another one.
Yeah, that was good. That's good stuff.
I still say that. I said it today when I was playing four-man. You got to side out for Jesus and serve the Lord.
That's right, baby. That's right.
There's some great stories of Hav just calling timeouts, walking into the player's tent, getting a sandwich and sitting down because he just wanted to bug Stokey. Stucky would just be going crazy.
Those are good days, my friend. Let's go back. I want to live in the 80s.
Hob, what do you see from this team right here now and their shot at winning a national championship? You were here last night against BYU.
You know what? These guys are the real deal. I like their middles. If Austin Zahn plays big, they've got enough weapons on the outside to put balls away. We block balls and pass the ball. We're going to be tough to beat. But you got to build on that and see how this thing turns out.
Peter was talking earlier about the size of these guys in the modern game and how big these guys are. Could you step out on this court? You, back in the day?
You know what? It doesn't matter how big you are. It's how quick you can move your feet and get around these guys. If you're that big, you're not quicker than I am. I can guarantee you that.
Ref just asked me a question about what kind of time I need on timeouts, and I just told him, listen, we're on the radio right now with Hoff. You got to beat it. Right on.
Give him a red card. Get out of here.
Hob, we're going to have Dusty on in a few moments. You mentioned him being one of the great blocking setters and just one of the great locators that we've ever had in our country.
He has precision hands, and the guy plays better when he's mad, and he's mad a lot.
Is there anything should we try to get him fired up a little bit?
No, you know what? It's even better. He would block, and he would set the ball, and then he'd stay middle. And he could block middle, you know. He could block left side, right, middle. He was a good athlete.
Too bad we don't have Team Cup anymore at the Forum.
God,
no,
yeah.
He used to dominate Team Cup. That's the only name I ever heard.
Yeah,
Hoblin
yeah.
And Team Cup.
Well, you know what? If you're near the block, you got to pretend like it was yours anyway. if somebody else blocked it, raise your hand. They're going to think it's yours.
Was there four guys at the net? What was going on out there?
Whatever. It was a mob. It was a mob.
We got people coming and going here, knocking our banners over, all kinds of stuff. The Net Live here, live from USC.
And I want you kids popping on. God, you look unbelievable.
Hob, thanks so much for joining us.
Hob, thanks
really
so much, man.
Right on, you guys.
The chat room's fire. People are going nuts right now with all your quotes.
Let's go, SC. Going to the national championship.
Nice. Will you fly back, Hob, for that?
Yeah.
Yes. The only thing we're missing is Steve Obradovich. He texted me yesterday. He's in Hawaii. At a member guest golf tournament, he showed just sending me pictures of where he is, and
it's all working out.
Nobody lives a life like Steve O'Bad. He's one of the chosen ones.
Yeah.
He's one of the chosen ones.
Well,
Billy looks nice tonight.
New Matt Gardhoff video up on the Facebook website. Go check it out. It's Big Red, 1984, and I love the quote in there. Like Obradovich, it says Steve Timmons. Gold medalist in 1988 and winner at life.
Winner at life.
That's one of my favorites.
Winner at life. We are joined right now. Put on those headphones.
Get hooked in.
What an honor. He's going to have his jersey retired tonight exactly where it should be.
Oh.
Truly one of the greatest setters to ever play, not just in our country but in the world. Won
one
a gold
of the
medal.
Greatest has been discussed. The greatest.
The greatest in the world. 1984 gold medalist. He won, I want to say, two national championships here and had a runner-up in the 30. Was a three-time All-American. Of course, we're talking about Dusty Dvorak. Dusty, thanks for coming out, and we really appreciate it, man.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's an honor to be recognized like this, and you guys are quite generous with the credit there. There have been lots of great players here at SC and had great careers, and I was fortunate enough to have some great teammates and great hitters. You won't see a great setter that doesn't have great hitters. And so I was lucky to have some great ones.
You know, Dusty, when you walked into that Founders room tonight, a lot of your old friends are there. And of course, Celso's getting his jersey in the rafter as well. Is it a little overwhelming? Is it emotional? What's it like for you to come to Galen Center, you know, on the campus of USC and have this happen?
You know, it's fantastic because, volleyball, even though on the men's side, I think there's, it's still limited. It hasn't expanded at the college level, but to see, team playing in an arena like this, which is spectacular, and then the history of SC volleyball and the players. I mean, there's 40 years of incredible volleyball players that are all in that one room. And luckily, my career, lasted a lot of years, and so my career included playing with some of the greats of the, even back to the 70s all the way to the 80s, and even guys more recent like Brian Ivey, who played in the
just
90s.
Just saw Brian walk by, yeah, good
exactly.
Friend. Yeah, that is a lot of fun. Let's reflect back to your days at USC and being a part of those national championship teams and just what it was like back then to be here at SC in the 70s when the program was really at its best.
You know what? It was a special time because the one satisfaction I got out of it was when I came to SC, program had not really come together. And the first year in 77, we were kind of a hodgepodge group of volleyball player athletes that were put together. Ernie Hicks was the coach. And talk about, I still credit that team as my favorite team. And if you look at that team, the guys are all, quality guys that have done well in whatever they've pursued in their private life. And they've remained great friends. And I can't say that was true with all the teams I've played with, but we got, of any team, the most out of that team that you could ever imagine. We had a reunion, like a 20-year reunion.
How cool was that?
It was fantastic. I remember my wife mentioning, because we got out on the court, it was on the beach, and played like a little four-on-four. And my wife, who's a beach volleyball player, kind of commented on me. She goes, how in the heck did you guys ever win that championship? And you know what? It was that truly defined the team effort. And we obviously had a couple extremely outstanding players. We were lucky to have Celso Kolacci, who was, there weren't any players like him in the United States at the time. And, Bob Yoder, who ended up becoming a three-time All-American. But we just got so much. And I was just this greenhorn freshman coming out of some little small town, Laguna Beach, that was kind of learning the game at the time. And I just had incredible guidance, Celso being an on-the-court coach, and then Ernie with his vast experience. It was fantastic.
What was it like when you first met the Hav?
I'll tell you, the Hav, I think he came in when I was a junior or senior, and I love playing with the Hav. I mean, we're kind of opposite in our personality.
Kind of.
But I'll tell you, if there's one player that I respect for just tremendous athletic ability, number one, which you can't teach, and the competitive intensity was unbelievable. I mean, Hav is a guy I'd go to war with, but I know he'd fight to the bitter end.
Yep.
And when he was lost off the national team for a lot of reasons, which I won't go into, that was a huge hit because Hovland, even though there's other guys that got tremendous publicity and media exposure for being great players, Hav was, I thought, a head and shoulder above most of those other guys. And when we lost him, it was a setback for the team as far as individual, talent. Luckily, we came through and put it together.
Yeah, Dusty, talk about the greats that you played with on that 84 team. Widely considered by a lot of people to be the greatest team that's ever won an Olympic Games, now 3 gold medals for the United States. But talk about that group of individuals.
You know, it again was a unique group because the guys, what was interesting about that is the strength of the team was, I think, the nucleus of the team had tremendous beach experience. Most of us grew up playing on the beach because at that time, indoor didn't have a lot of importance. Beach didn't really either, but we had beach roots. And when it came down to playing the Russians or the Cubans, it was often a play that we learned on the beach, pulling it out of the net or getting a ball in close to your body and being able to pop it up. And I think that really was a critical element because we weren't necessarily stronger or better skilled in hitting or passing or setting, but it was those intangible little things, being able to turn and twist because of the beach experience. And individually, I mean, obviously a lot of those guys went on to become great international players and, deservingly so. It was great. It was great to actually, be on a team and start to build a dynasty rather than perpetuate it.
Coach, I played for Coach Doug Beal also during my entire time on the national team, and there was always talk about that outward bound trip, and so much was made of that trip. Has that been overmade as a moment that you guys gelled or something that really propelled you forward, or did it really have a drastic effect on the team and the way you were bonded?
Well, I'm probably the wrong person to ask that question. I don't think it had any effect. Outward bound, I believe, is an incredible, a great concept. when people don't spend time together and communicate together, you know from your national team time, you know, you'll spend weeks at a time, 24 hours a day with your teammates, sitting in airports, on buses, spending lots of time together. And so, you know, I felt at that time, the 3 weeks that we went on Outward Bound could have been used better just as time off away. I don't think it contributed. I look back and, you know, go, boy, we might have had a better use of our time, but you know, whatever. You never know.
Yeah.
If we hadn't done it,
right,
we might not.
I love the answer.
Yeah.
Butterfly effect.
What are you doing now, Dusty? Tell everyone what you got going on and where you're living.
You know, I've been married, actually. I met my wife. She's a freshman at SC, so we're on our 30th year now.
Wow, that's awesome.
And three children. We moved about 4 years ago to Park City, Utah.
I'll be there next week.
Oh, really? Okay.
Love Park City.
Yeah, loving life there. Wonderful place to raise a family. I'm in real estate, just making a living and trying to spend as much time with my kids. My kids are very into sports.
What sports?
My girls, primarily tennis. My oldest daughter
is
going to college next year on a full scholarship.
That's great.
My middle daughter is a good little tennis player. We play lots of sports. We play soccer, volleyball,
sure,
the freestyle scene. And my son does all the same sports and stuff. And so everything's good. No complaints.
That's great. Do you ever get to watch the game? Check it out if it's on TV? And
you know, a bit. I love the game of volleyball. I still really enjoy playing. I mean, that's probably the best thing about my career is I still love playing the game. A lot of athletes, you know, after 10, 15, 20 years, they don't want to touch a ball again. I love playing and really miss playing the game. And I love watching the game now because it's become such a power game. It's lost a little of, say, the intricacies of when I played. So it's probably glad that I played during my time. I think being a setter, there was more fantasy and more ability,
sure,
of the setter to kind of control. Now, you know, I think a setter, you know, delivers to these hammers that
just throw it up there.
Yeah, it'd be real nice.
Did you have a lot of pride when the 2018 took home the gold, being a former gold medalist and what they had to go through?
Oh, absolutely, because I think they came in, even though I believe they had a nice run-up right before the Olympics, I don't think they were the favorites. And I think the way they kind of, you know, they went through some hardship, and that's what it takes sometimes in a tournament like that, and just peaking at the right time. Because I'll tell you, they don't remember your preliminary games at that last game. And they put it together and just played incredible. And I hope it's another shot in the arm for USA Volleyball. It seems like every era they get that shot in the arm. But for some reason, that momentum somehow gets lost.
Yeah, I agree 100%. We talk about it a lot on this show.
We spend a lot of time wondering why it doesn't kick over and you have, you know, play Stanley or Reed Pretty as a household name in the sport. It just hasn't happened, and it used to be, during my time, the preaching was, if you have the success, that will happen on the court. And we didn't have quite that success, but now that they have it, I haven't seen much of a change.
You know, the problem, and not to be controversial, I could get controversial.
Please do. That's what the show's for.
I think the problem is one thing that USA Volleyball has not changed is the YMCA mentality of the higher-ups. And I think that's a bit of a problem. You have these great athletes. You have wonderful personalities. I think beach volleyball got away from it. Obviously, they've taken three steps back, and there's a lot of reasons for that and stuff. But beach volleyball was very, very innovative back in the 90s, got the right people involved, and pushed that sport up to a level that I think it deserves to be. Beach indoor volleyball with three gold medals has had three doors open for someone very creative, of a group very creative to step in, because it's a great sport, and I'm not just saying that because I played it. I watch lots of sports. It's athletic. The athletes tend to be quality kids, articulate,
true,
you know, nice personalities, people that the
should
average
be very marketable.
It really does. And you know what? Until we actually get out of that, you know, YMCA mentality, I don't know if it's necessarily going to make that next level.
Dusty, we just got the sign from Tim Tesselon. We got to let you go. I know it's a big night. Number one, congratulations. It's an honor to have you on the show. It's called The Net Live. We're on every Monday. We're going to reach out to you again, and you can download it on iTunes for free. But you are such a great person to talk to. We really appreciate it. Congratulations.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Dusty.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
That was cool, Barney.
That was cool. Oh, Tim Tesselon stepping in.
That was very
cool. What's the word? What's the good word?
We got more people. Tim Tesselon, as we said, has just been an all-star tonight. The young man who battles Jason Olive is one of the best-looking volleyball players of all time, Quicksilver model. This is Luke Morris. He's the all-time digs leaders here at USC. He was part of that runner-up team in 2009, and now he's in the business world, and he's all grown up. So, Luke, what's up, man?
Whoa.
Oh, we got to get him going.
There
hold on, hold on.
There we go. Now we're good.
What's up, Luke?
Now you can hear
yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Get up there, buddy.
Excellent.
Get it going.
Excellent.
Talk about, yeah. So tell us a little bit about your run here at USC, of course, going to that national championship game. You were really a part of seeing this program get back to the top. You were here during the struggling times as well.
I mean, my freshman year, we might have won 7 games back in North Gym, you know, running around and upstairs in that old building, you know, the brick building and coming
did,
here
did you guys hate that building the way your opponents hated that building?
We loved it. We
figured
my freshman
it.
Year, we had the UCLA game in there. We actually beat them, which was a huge game for us that year. And it was so loud, the football guys in the crow's nest, which is something, you know, we don't get here. But, I mean, Galen is beautiful, and it's brought a lot of people and a lot of fans to our cause, and it's been fantastic for us.
How proud are you now when you see this team ranked number one? Because you got to feel a big part of it. I know you guys came up short. It's one of the best national championship games we've had in many years.
It was, you know, I definitely feel like a part of the program. I've you know, helped evolve and put us back on top. And that's definitely something I hold my head high about. And even though we came up 2 or 3 points short in Provo, Utah a couple of years ago, but definitely it was a great experience for me. And the guys are doing great, and they're carrying it on. And I know the fans are very happy, and all the alumni, and everybody's very, very excited about it.
Tell us about what you have going on now.
What I'm doing now.
Yeah, since you graduated USC.
I work for a real estate auction company.
Yeah.
It's auction.com. I trade commercial properties for banks, a lot of the foreclosures, the loans for big banks like SunTrust and in the South, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. And it's really fun. I was in New York for 6 months. This is, believe it or not, this is my first game back.
It must have killed you to miss the games.
This is my first game back since the national championship game. First game. As not a player, it's weird watching everybody warm up.
You've been living life, I think. Barney, what do you think?
Yeah,
I don't know, living in New York, being a Quicksilver model.
I think he's doing just fine.
I think that'll be okay.
Hey,
come on, hey, I'm hearing modeling. You know, I'm hearing modeling. I've heard it. It's confirmed.
Oh, wow. Who told you
is
that?
Is it true? Is it true? Is it
I
true?
I did do a catalog as a favor of a close friend of mine, Bob McKnight.
Bob McKnight.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to handsome, you and Brooke Billings, who's higher?
You know, I don't want to boost Brooke's ego here. But
it doesn't need boosting, but you can.
Brooke, you know, I'm not gonna judge here. He's a good looking guy, but I don't know. What are you guys? Come on, you tell me.
Chucky Moore is on the chat room right now and says, "Tell Luke the fat kid hello for me."
Chuck, miss you and thank you for the good time.
Was Chuck just comedy out here?
Chuck was a character, and he gave me the fat kid name because. He thought the libero was like the position they gave to the kid who got picked last.
Like right field and t-ball?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm the third base coach, pretty much.
Now, you and your dad, though, still involved with USC, something you hold, you know, close to your heart?
Absolutely. I'm one of 14 or 15 family members to go to USC. I'm third generation.
Holy cow.
My grandfather went here, my dad, my aunt, uncle, second cousin. So, you know, getting involved now on the endowment commission is going to be great. And I'm working with volleyball. And
can you tell us about that, the endowment commission?
Yeah, so the endowment commission, the goal is to raise, you know, a certain amount of money where every scholarship for the rest of forever is endowed. So, it's going to take, some heavy fundraising, but it's a great initiative. And we're working with, you know, Pat Hayden is very, very adamant about the about getting it done, and I'm excited about working on it.
You know, Pat Hayden's getting such a great run here. I mean, he just came in, but he's really doing the right things, and he's supporting all these teams. He comes to a lot of the matches. I've heard nothing but great things about what Pat's doing.
he's the best. And in a way, I can relate because he's kind of taking it at a bad time. Like when I came on to the volleyball program, and it was,
right.
you know, not we're not
That's
exactly the football team's not 0-12, but you know, he took it hard. All the sanctions, and he really got it at a tough time, and he has been the face of USC and a positive face at that.
So yeah.
He's a great role model for everybody, and I look up to him certainly, and he's done a fantastic job.
Are you pumped about this match?
My first match back, I'm pumped. They won last night in five, and one versus two. This is a huge game, and I'm very excited about it.
You were part of that 09 team. You see a lot of these guys that are still on the team. When you talk about Riley and Tony and, of course, Murphy and Austin's on, do they have what it takes to win a national championship? Is this the year SC gets back on top?
Absolutely. You know what? I'm definitely. I think they got it. I thought last year for sure they would have taken it. Just a couple unfortunate matches at the end of the season kind of set them back. But, you know, this is a team with the best talent, certainly. They have a great coaching staff now. They've got great facilities, great fans, and I think that this is their year.
There's a lot of changing of the culture around here. Can you talk about just the chemistry that goes on with this team?
Absolutely. I think this team is all business. I mean, you know, USC is great socially for the kids, but they work so hard. I mean, it's like a full-time job, and it's all business, and it's volleyball and school, and that's how these guys are looking at it.
What are some of the best qualities of Coach Ferguson?
Sweaters.
Some of the things you've taken beyond
his ability
volleyball.
To tie a great tie. The vest, the sweater vest.
He's not afraid to rock a sweater vest. He's got
sweater
that confidence
vest.
In him.
You know, absolutely. I don't even know
I noticed
where
it doesn't fade because you're rocking one right now.
It's a trendy sweater. Sweaters are in. It's March. So it's, you know,
March, it's 75 degrees out.
Exactly, but we're indoors, okay, guys? So
you're looking good, you know. How old are you?
24.
Single?
Single.
Let me tell you something, man.
He needs to spend more time around this crowd
right
now.
Let me tell you something. Man, the world is yours, my friend. Go out and enjoy it. Tell everyone you're a model, a businessman, a volleyball. Use it, my friend. Use everything. Use that.
Peter, do you want to share my phone number, too, and my email address?
Absolutely, buddy.
We will put that out there right now.
Hey, buddy, he doesn't need that.
You guys are too funny.
This coach,
this kid's unbelievable.
Right,
where's the sweater vest?
We asked about, you know, your best attribute, and I said your sweater, and he said your ability to tie ties. And Fergie again tonight wearing it. Yeah,
I don't think he's got the full Windsor going on though right now.
Half Windsor tonight.
I'm gonna have to check back with him later. Learn a full Windsor.
What we need out of you, Luke, now is for you to become a fan of the show.
Here,
give us a call from time to time. You can download the show.
$0.
iTunes
absolutely,
for free.
Absolutely.
We're Monday live, 10 to noon. Not a lot of people can do it, but we have our share of listeners that listen live, a faithful group. But we'd love to have you check in with us from time to time.
And you guys cover all volleyball.
Yeah,
man.
Beach, indoor, national team, women's, men's. You know, Kevin and I are real big proponents of the men's game because we played it. We know about the tight fraternity, and, you know, it always baffles us that we understand why, but that it's not a huge success. You know, there's a very few Division I teams.
No,
but
2014.
Yeah, but it's us. It was a part of our lives that we're never going to forget, and it's made us who we are.
Yeah, I love volleyball, and I think it's one of the most interesting sports to play and watch. It's truly incredible, and it's a bummer. It's not as world renowned as it should be, or at least
in this country,
in the United States.
Definitely,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, around the world. I was just in Brazil, and
it's everything.
Oh my gosh, they're on the beach. They're playing regular volleyball. They're doing the kick volleyball. They're just so passionate about it. And
Football,
exactly. And you know, it's such an incredible sport, and I'm definitely going to check this out.
Luke was in Brazil, too. This guy,
he's in New York. He's in Brazil.
Hey, buddy. Hey, you're going to be 39 in 5 minutes. Just trust me on this one. Enjoy your life, son.
Peter, tell me how 39 is. You got to tell me a little bit.
You don't want to hear from Peter. He's got one little kid he's got to deal with.
Listen,
he's got another one on the
way. I got
a
3-year-old daughter, Luke, because I used to be you.
He's struggling. He drives a Prius.
I
drive a Prius.
My wife is 37 weeks pregnant. 37 weeks pregnant with daughter number two coming. That means unless they get full scholarships, I'm going to have to pay for two college educations
and
two
dowries.
And two weddings. So I'm going to be coming to you.
What are you talking about, Gear? Get him on the football.
You know that, bud. You know. You know. What's
USC,
up, buddy?
I mean, come on. Unless you're on full scholarship.
No, they're
here.
Going to the Ridge.
They're going to follow in Daddy's footsteps. They're going to the 818. They're going to Northridge.
Nothing wrong with Northridge.
Nothing wrong with it.
Oh, there's something wrong with Northridge. We talk about it on the show all the time.
Oh, man, it's been a fun show.
This has been great. Hey, thanks so much
for
stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm definitely going to check this out.
Check us out.
And I appreciate, you know, and I really appreciate you guys spreading the word about volleyball, and I'm very glad to be on the show.
Just give us a call. Let us know where you are. Monaco.
Yeah, I'm
going
to write our number down
Athens.
Just give me that thing. You're going to put it in the wall.
Wherever you happen to be in the world, just call and tell us what it's like to be a model business entrepreneur living in the world space.
You guys, I mean, can I be on the show more often? Maybe if we have some... There's got to be some girls listening.
Whenever you're first dating a girl, if you really, really like a girl, I mean really like her, just call the show and watch what happens.
I'm serious. I'm going to play like, oh, you know, there's this great show. You got to listen to it. And
that's all you need.
You guys could talk me out.
Listen, I got my email in here, and I'm going to give our show number, Buck. We'd love for you to call in again, especially around, you know, when it gets close to the MPSF time. We'll have you on here again because we're going to be hosting from this very spot come MPSF final.
Amen, brother. Now that we got it down.
Yeah,
Luke Morris.
Right? If we win this game, I'm pretty sure it's a done deal for the for hosting.
Yeah, I mean if they win this, Barney, they're what, 4 up with 10 to play, it's over.
No, it's
basically
over.
You're going to the Final Four.
Five more home games following this one, right?
Yeah, no, so good home stand. They're on a good stretch here. Luke Morris, thank you,
brother.
Thank you guys. Thanks
great job, man.
Appreciate it.
Talk to you guys soon. All right, brother.
All right.
Talk about a guy that's got his future just ahead of him. What? The future is bright for Luke Morris.
Win
man.
A national championship, live in New York, travel to Brazil. I'll go back and live that life.
Businessman.
That sounds like fun.
He's like, you know, my friend Mr. McKnight there, Bob McKnight over at the, you know, Quicksilver, the owner.
Yeah. You know, just Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. But that's a lot of people right there. The Hav. How about the Hav? How many quotes? He's on the air for 15 minutes.
I mean,
he throws down like 6 quotable phrases.
He's forgotten more than we're ever going to know.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Do you want to be a fly on the wall in the life of Tim Hovland?
I've been around the Hov on the road. I've been with him all over the place and he is, man, he is a walking quote machine. Is that Steve Timmons?
We have a Steve Timmons doll. I thought I saw Steve Timmons over there.
No, that was just a doll. It looked
like it was like a 5'8 Steve Timmons.
Steve Timmons.
Well, Barney, I thought this was a big success, man. I think we've seen a lot of great people. I mean, think about it. The Hob, Dusty Dvorak. We had Murphy Troy, both coaches, Billy and Robbie Nielsen. Luke Morris, our new favorite.
I just hope that the fans out there enjoyed it. I hope they get a chance to come out and see one of these great matches. There's certainly quite a bit of the season remaining. Trojans have been dominating. Tonight is going to be epic. Get out there and check it out. Was it Trojans Live?
Yeah, you know, you go to usctrojans.com.
usctrojans.com.
You can stream it, and it'll be worth it. This is going to be a great match. I mean, BYU-USC,
the best two
teams in the country.
Who do you got? SC in 5 last night. Who are you picking tonight?
I got SC in 4.
In 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick. I may even take SC in 3. I think they come back with a vengeance.
Dustin Aball, you're going to be streaming in 7 minutes. Tell everyone how to get on and do this.
Go to usctrojans.com.
Yeah, usctrojans.com/allaccess. Check it out. Listen to myself, Dustin Aval, and Mark Beltran.
Oh, another headshot.
Second time tonight.
How many times? You just have a nose for the ball. Yeah. I've seen you out in four-man.
That's why my nose is large. It's been hit quite a few times, son. Well, have fun. Hey, have a great show, man.
Thanks, Dustin.
And for those that listen to the show, we'd love to get some feedback. You can email us. You can get us on the chat room.
TheNetLive@gmail.com. Friend us on Facebook.
Spread the word. We'd love for other universities to download this. It's iTunes, The Net Live. You download it for free and see what we do when we're here. And you get your. It's great for your school. I'll tell you that. It was an hour and a half commercial for USC. And, of course, BYU got involved as well.
Absolutely. I'm loving watching Jeff Nygaard out here shagging balls, Cameron Green hitting them over.
Yeah, J.J. Riley. This is a great staff over here. You know, we weren't able to get the assistants on. We definitely wanted to talk to Jeff Nygaard, 3-time Olympian, 2-time NCAA Player of the Year when he's at UCLA, about what it's like now being a part of the Trojan family. But these guys are busy. Fergie's able to do these, but the assistants, they're grinding at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. This is go time for them.
Absolutely. Fergie's got it set up that way. CEO, he just stands around, looks good. Staff does all the work.
I got a... better athlete, Murphy Troy or NBA player Troy Murphy? I'm going with Murphy Troy, dude. R. Murphy Troy from SC. I'll tell you what, the chat room hasn't been huge in number, but quality tonight. They've come up with some great questions and some funny stuff. So props to the people that joined us on a Saturday night, Barney.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
What'd you want from that?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you got to be impressed with peeps. 5:30 p.m. joining us.
No, absolutely. I appreciate them tuning in. If they're getting this on iTunes, I hope they're enjoying this special edition.
Jason Olive joined us too. That was great.
All kinds of people.
Well, bud.
Thanks for being here, Geeter.
Great job.
You can
man.
Help me carry this stuff out, or am I on my
yeah,
own?
We're
again?
Doing it. By the way, we're doing it right now.
All right,
I gotta go to San Diego.
I'm hanging around for the
yeah.
match. The Net Live. Be good, people.
That
we're
was fun.
Enjoy it. A great one.
That was fun.
We'll see you again Monday. Coming up soon. Later.